Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. edX, the massive online education enterprise founded by Harvard and MIT, is about to make another big push to change the way we learn.
It has to do with how instructors grade essays. You remember in high school or college, you'd answer an essay exam question in a blue book or maybe by turning in a long typed out essay. Either way, you'd have to wait weeks for your grade.
Well, edX has just introduced a system where students wait seconds, not weeks, but seconds to get their grades. The group is using a newly developed automated software to grade essays. Computer scores the writing and then allows students to rewrite their essays immediately to try for a better grade.
The automated essay algorithm solves one of edX's most pressing problems. How do you assign grades in online courses that attract tens of thousands of students? Computerized scoring is also very common in math and the sciences, but writing somehow... it somehow feels different, a skill defined not just by structure and grammar rules, but by creativity and meaning. And computers can't parse meaning. Not yet, at least. In a moment, we'll talk with an MIT writing professor who's one of the strongest critics of computerized essay grading.
And this issue goes far beyond the new world of online education. In 2015, dozens of states are poised to overhaul high-stakes testings from kindergarten through high school as part of the Common Core State Standards Initiative, championed by the Obama administration. Many of these states are considering using machine scoring for new essay sections in their standardized tests.
So, should student writing be graded by a computer? Can a machine detect elegant reasoning or creative and critical thinking? Is this a step forward in 21st century education or a convenient cost control tool that teaches students nothing more than how to write to the test? We're going to take a look at all those questions today, and we'll start with Mark Shermis. He's a professor of education and psychology at the University of Akron in Ohio and a leading researcher in the use of computerized essay scoring in high-stakes tests. We spoke with him a little earlier today and asked him, do computers grade essays as accurately as humans?
What we found was that on 5 of the 7 measures that we used to evaluate their performance, they did as well or sometimes even better than the human raters. And we were satisfied to the point that we were willing to recommend that the two consortia look into machine scoring as a way to evaluate the essays as a second reader, not as a primary reader, but as a second reader, pending some studies that looked at demographic differences among students who use the technology.
Mm. Some critics of the use of computers or programs to score student essays would say that you can teach a student to create a certain structure that the computer recognizes as, you know, being a high-scoring structure, but that's not necessarily evidence of good writing, that the structure can be there, but perhaps the sense or the meaning of the essay is complete nonsense.
Well, it is possible to write a nonsensical essay that gets a good score, but you actually have to be a good writer to get the good score on the nonsensical essay. If you're a poor writer, you'll get flagged as either being off topic or you'll be scored at sort of a low value. Now, the critics are individuals who are expert writers, and they can create these what we call bad faith essays, but a typical 10th grader cannot. It's very, very difficult to create the bad essay that gets the good score.
Do you think the technology is ready, though, to be used en masse? Because, as you know, one of the next steps regarding the adoption of the Common Core is that many, many states out there are going to be adding machine scoring regarding essays to their high-stakes
right.
testings for K through 12 students. Is it ready for that?
Well, there are some things that the technology really can't do. At least we haven't seen it demonstrated up to this point. So, for example, the technology can tell you whether you're on topic and how much of the topic you have, but it really can't tell you whether you've made a good argument. So that's kind of an upper limit for the technology in terms of scoring content. In terms of other kinds of writing attributes, it can work reasonably well. There are actually 4 states right now that are using this technology either as a primary or secondary reader. So, for example, Utah uses it as a primary reader for its high-stakes assessments, and I would say that they're kind of out there in taking that position, but a number of other states are using it as a secondary reader. And we think at this point the technology has matured enough there where it could be used as a secondary reader and as a way to monitor human rating performance.
What do you make of the thought that perhaps some people feel uncomfortable about this because by virtue of having an algorithm or a set of measurements that, mm-hmm. that the computer is looking at, that really what this is doing is teaching students one particular type of writing, whereas perhaps the great use and glory of writing is that, you know, it is a creative endeavor. And so,
right.
you know, are they being served by being taught this one, perhaps, you know, overly academic type of writing when in schools they should, their essays should be, you know, exploring more creative ones?
Well, you bring a very valid point and a philosophical one as well. So here's the state of the art. What I would tell you is that most public school children, and even in the post-secondary institutions, really aren't particularly good writers because they haven't had the opportunity to write very much. If you do a survey of high school writing classes, the average number of essays that are assigned in one semester is about 3. And one thing we know after 75 years of educational research is that if you want to be a better writer, you simply have to write more. Now, it turns out that none of these algorithms are tied to one kind of writing. That is, you can build models for different kinds of writing, and so you don't have to have the 5-paragraph essay. You can have a model built on another type or form of essay. So the notion that everybody's going to be writing the same is a bit of a fiction, but rather, you know, the kind of exposure they get would be a function of the different kinds of models that they get exposed to. What I tell you is a sort of a bottom line, and that is that with the technology, if teachers elect to use it, and they don't, you know, they're not constrained to use it, but if they elect to use it, they'll be able to grade more essays and give their students more opportunities for writing. And there's no way that the human grading operation is going to be able to handle the amount of assessment that's going to be underway. This technology is simply going to get better and better, and it really is designed to be an aid for instruction. It's not designed to replace teachers. Nobody is running around with that notion, at least on our research team, but rather as an aid for instructors to assign more writing.
One can only imagine what the current algorithms would do if confronted with something like Joyce's Ulysses.
That's actually a great point. You know, the one thing that the technology does do is it tends to address the needs for about, you know, 90% of the kind of writing that goes on there. And one thing that makes Joyce or any other great writer great is the fact that they have a unique perspective. They write in a certain kind of way that isn't the norm. And we point that out and say that's unique. So this technology really wouldn't necessarily contribute to the next great writer. But what it might do is it might help the 99.99% of the rest of us complete our daily tasks with some degree of confidence and fluency.
Well, Mark Shermis is a professor of education and psychology at the University of Akron in Ohio. Professor Shermis, thank you so much for your time today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, we're talking about the push towards grading student essays, student writing with computers. edX, the online education pioneers from MIT and Harvard, are going to do it for their tens of thousands of students in their free online classes. You might even see online or automated grading for essays in high-stakes testing in K through 12 schools sometime soon. So is it a good idea? Do students appreciate or would they appreciate the instant feedback that a computer could give them on their writing? Is it a great tool to help overburden teachers? Or could we be risking just encouraging standardized robo-writing in what should be fundamentally a creative human endeavor? Call us with your thoughts at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Now, you can imagine that robo-grading does not sit well with many educators. Les Perlman is a former director of writing at MIT and president of the Consortium for the Research and Evaluation of Writing. He's among a group of educators who've created an anti-computer grading petition. They've collected more than 2,000 signatures on that petition so far, including from linguistics luminaries such as Noam Chomsky. Les Perlman joins us here in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me, Magna.
It's great to have you. Let me ask you, what is your chief complaint, your beef with computers grading student essays?
I can say it in one sentence. It doesn't work. that what computers do very well and what all computer grading programs do is count. They count the number of words. They count the average number of letters per word for length. They count the number of sentences per paragraph. They count the number of connecting words. But they can't understand meaning at all. So all a student has to do, and I think one of the claims that Professor Shermis made, which has not been substantiated by research, is that you have to be a good writer to game these tests. All you have to do is give students lists of big words, and all they have to do is write the first sentence of a paragraph on topic, and then fill the rest of the paragraph with lots of sentences with big words, and they'll do very, very well.
Okay, so you've even gone so far as to do an example of, you've written an essay which fulfills basically all the requirements that a computerized algorithm would look for in grading a student essay. And your sample essay, you ran it through an actual computer grader?
Yes, I ran it through eRater, which is by the Educational Testing Service, which I should mention is the only major vendor that would let me actually test their system. The other vendors will not let me test their systems.
Okay, so, and it gave your essay the highest score possible.
Yeah, well, actually, it originally gave my essay a 5 out of 6, and then I added some sentences from, completely off topic, from a friend's article, which are part of some of the paragraphs that have nothing to do with the topic, and then it gave me a 6.
Okay, so can you read a paragraph from your essay, and let's see what the computer deemed as a high-scoring student essay.
Yes. There are 3 main reasons why teaching assistants receive such high remuneration. First, they have the most powerful union in the United States. Their union is greater than the Teamsters or Freemasons, although it is slightly smaller than the International Secret Society of the Jedi Knights. Second, most teaching assistants have political connections, from being children of judges and governors to being the brothers and sisters of kings and princes. In Heart of Darkness, Mr. Kurtz is a teaching assistant because of his connections, and he ruins all the universities that employ him. Finally, teaching assistants are able to exercise mind control over the rest of the university community. The last reason to write this way is the most important. Once you have it down, you can use it for practically anything. Does God exist? Well, you can say yes and give 3 reasons, or no and give 3 different reasons. It doesn't really matter. You're sure to get a good grade whatever you pick to put into the formula. That's the real reason for education, to get those good grades without thinking too much and using up too much time.
Okay, so that's a paragraph from your sample essay, and I should say that the question was, why does college cost so much?
Yes.
Okay, and you've managed to get in the Freemasons, Jedi Knights, Heart of Darkness, and a question of if God exists, and exercising mind control as well. So your point being that it's basically a nonsensical paragraph.
Yes, exactly,
and the computer scored it as a 6 out of 6.
Yes, the computer scored it as 6 out of 6.
Well, what's your response to folks like Mr. Shermis, who we heard earlier, that saying that if you could construct an essay like this, even though you're trying to game the system, you're showing a certain degree of critical thinking and ability to write that most students in America, 75% of them, don't even have?
Well, I was having fun with this, but what made the computer give this essay a 6 was the fact that there were so many words there, not that they were words. It was also because I used connective words like first, second, third, fourth, which it immediately recognizes as coherence in the essay. And these are things that I could teach most 8th or 10th graders to do in 10 or 15 minutes.
And whether or not they can actually write well.
The other thing that's very scary about this is the law of unintended consequences. If these become for high-stakes testing, teachers are going to start teaching students long lists of big words. to put into these essays without even necessarily telling them what they mean.
Mm. So is that what you're truly worried about at the base of all this, that what's at risk here is that the teaching to the test mentality is going to enter the world of writing and we won't even actually be teaching students how to write?
Yes, it's going to do harm.
Okay. Well, there's a lot more I want to talk to you about that, but we've got a lot of people who want to join us as
sure.
well. Listeners, we're talking about computerized grading of student essays in anywhere from edX, the massive online education endeavor from MIT and Harvard, to possibly even K-12 schools and high-stakes testings. Whether or not the question is whether or not you think computers can and should be doing the job of grading student essays. It may be coming to a school near you. We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Lots of calls, so let's hear from some of them. Paul is calling from Nashua, New Hampshire. You're on the air, Paul.
Good afternoon, Magna. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling because I teach an AP-level course in high school right now, and the College Board uses human readers currently, but I already teach my students specifically how to write for that test because I want to facilitate them getting their ideas across. I believe that high-stakes tests have a very specific role, and my job as an educator is to fill the rest of my time because that's not all I do, but understanding that to prepare them for the test, they need to be able to talk or write, in this case, efficiently. I spend the rest of my time judging their creativity and encouraging their critical thinking.
So are you saying that it doesn't matter whether or not they show those critical thinking skills in an essay for one of these high-stakes tests, as long as they get a good grade from the computer grader?
Well, for this particular test, the human readers are at times looking for certain buzzwords and things like that, but in a very, I don't want to say unpredictable sense, but because they're human readers that evaluate on how well the kids combine or apply the specific terms that they might be looking for to the unique, unpredictable question, I don't think a computer can be fooled by that. But the human readers are slowed down by trying to make sometimes really broad connections.
Right.
That's why I teach the kids, like I said, to write in the style that facilitates the readers who will read it. So,
Paul, let me take it from you there, actually, because you make a really interesting point. I'd like to turn it back to Les Perlman. Thanks so much for your call, Paul. I mean, this is something I've seen come up in other criticisms, that it's not necessarily the computers that we should be looking at, but the fact that even human graders are being told to look for a very reductive set of rules by which to grade standardized essays.
Yes, and I think that's very true. I have graded AP exams. 5.5 days of reading essays for 8 hours a day. I think, there are some, there are some valid criticisms of that. For the SAT writing test, graders are expected to read an essay every 2 to 3 minutes. And one of the things that that does is make them grade it largely on length. Consequently, for those short-timed essays, it's very easy for a computer to mimic the scores.
So in that case, isn't the harm already being done if for so many standardized tests, high-stakes tests, humans are already grading it in the same way the computer would?
There are some good standardized tests out there, and there are some bad standardized tests. I would say, for example, the MCAS, for all of its disadvantages, because it gives students time to revise their essay and it gives them more time to write, is a much better test of writing than the 25-minute essay on the SAT.
Let's take a couple more calls. Claudine is calling from Sudbury. You're on the air, Claudine.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yes, this is really exciting for me. I have a master's in education, and I'm also a mother of three kids, and they range from second grade through a junior in high school. So I'm kind of looking at things, and I'm also a teacher, and looking at things from multi levels, and I would say that I think this is bar none fabulous technology, and I wish that it had been developed years and years ago. And part of the reason is because of one of the things that your first guest has stated, which is that students are not writing enough. I was begging my daughter's middle school teachers to give her more papers because I felt like she was such a poor writer. And
Claudine, can I jump in there and ask you something about that? Because, I mean, I take your point, and as you mentioned, our first guest, Professor Shermis, said this, that kids just aren't being asked to write enough. But why introduce a computer to give instant and perhaps, you know, not terribly accurate feedback on the meaning of what they're writing? Why not just ask them to write more?
Okay, so there's two things. One is because they have to wait so long to get responses back from their teachers, because if a teacher has, say, 100 kids that they're teaching and they give an essay, they don't get the papers back for 3 to 4 weeks. And I find that, you know, that delayed response to their writing is just so detrimental to their ability to move forward in their writing. And then secondly, you know, you're talking about people reading, you know, teachers who have all different kinds of biases and interests and what they're looking for and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, you can't really trust, you know, a broad spectrum of teachers to all have, you know, a really good eye. There, a lot of them, you know, aren't writers. They're not necessarily English majors. They're just, they have a master's in teaching or they have a BA in teaching, and they may not be a very good judge of good writing.
Claudine, I'm going to take it from you there and let Les Perlman respond. Thank you so much for your call. What do you make of what Claudine says, that a certain amount of objectivity from a computer might actually be of service to students?
It would be nice, except the computer is not that accurate. First of all, students can get a lot of feedback on what has become the typewriter of the 21st century, which is Microsoft Word. And even with Microsoft Word, it'll make mistakes. But the mistakes in Microsoft Word are not nearly as many as the ones that I found testing software.
This is feedback you're talking about regarding spelling and grammar.
Well, grammar, for example, the next paragraph on the essay that I wrote, I used Oscar Wilde's quotation, "I can resist everything except temptation." And what the computer came back and said that I was using the preposition except improperly. I was using it absolutely correctly. Now, for a native speaker of English, that's just an annoyance. But for a second language learner, that's very subversive. Mm-hmm. To get to the point of students should write more, there are ways to use technology well to get students to write more. There's something called calibrated peer review, which is to have students learn how to, you know, use computers to have students learn how to evaluate each other's papers, give them feedback. And that's an important part of writing, because no one in the real world ever writes alone.
I want to get one more call in here. Jennifer is calling from Waltham. You're on the air, Jennifer.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've been a teacher in eighth grade. I teach writing for 20 years. And I just think that this is the worst idea possible, even though it is very, very appealing for me to spend less time correcting essays. And I want to pick up on a couple of threads that some of your guests have said. First of all, writing is not necessarily, writing at the school level is not necessarily about the end product. It is about the process. Writing is thinking. I always tell my students that good writing represents good thinking. You've got to iron out your thinking before you can get a good written piece. One of the most important things with young writers is to develop a relationship where they can share their writing. I love what your guest just said about peer response. The process of writing is so important, far more important than the end product.
Jennifer, let me ask you a quick question. Because we're running down on time. I hear what you say about the process of writing and how important it is for the teacher to sort of be the guide, the mentor during that process. But one of the points that an earlier guest made was that perhaps computerized grading can give instant feedback on certain aspects of writing that maybe you don't need the teacher for, so that the teacher can focus more on the creative aspect, on the critical thinking. I mean, what do you think about that?
I would like to see it work, because one of the things that is not being taken into account are the discussions that went on about a text, if you're writing about a text, the resources that a teacher used and taught students how to use to iron out their thinking and use within the text. that can't be reflected with somebody who wasn't there, a human being who wasn't there, and in comments on writing can say, oh, this is a great place to talk about XYZ. Remember when we talked about this in class?
So the context isn't there. Yeah. Jennifer, thank you so much for your call. Les Perlman, we've just got a couple minutes to go here, and I wonder if you might be able to pick up on her point. Standardized testing, high-stakes testing, it seems, while it serves a great purpose in sort of bringing everyone up to a particular standard, it's not crafted to take into account context to begin with.
Absolutely. It's not only context, it's not crafted to take in meaning. Two subfields of linguistics are semantics, which is the study of meaning, and pragmatics, which is how language works in context. We know very little about those two fields. Compared to, for example, phonology, where we know a lot more, which is why voice recognition software works. And we're nowhere near, we don't have enough knowledge to really make anything that will be useful to students at all.
Now, just before our show began today, we were wrestling with this question of whether or not computer grading was going to be used for high-stakes testing in Massachusetts. And you've got an update on that.
Yes, I have an update. I actually have been writing the Mass Department of Education, and they told me that one of the two national consortia, which is the one that Massachusetts is part of, the PARC consortium, has decided not to use computers for high-stake testing. The other consortium, the SMART consortium, which is not Massachusetts is not part of, is going to have, starting in 2015, 60% of the writing testing will be graded by machine.
But at least here in Massachusetts, not in the immediate future. We've just got a couple seconds to go, about 30 seconds or so. I'm wondering, do you ever see a future in which computers or automated grading of student writing is useful at all? I mean, because class sizes are going up, and if we want to get kids to write more, feedback is an important part of that learning process.
Yeah, I think technology is an important part of it in the way that we can leverage technology with human beings. The teacher was talking about peer review and feedback, and technology can be used to amplify that a great deal.
Well, Les Perlman is the former director of writing at MIT and president of the Consortium for the Research and Evaluation of Writing. Mr. Perlman, it's great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you
very much. And listeners, I knew I couldn't get to a lot of you. A lot of people have something to say about this, so I encourage you, please go to our website, radioboston.org, and leave your comment there about computers grading student essays. We'd love to hear what you have to say. But for now, stick with us, because coming up, from cocaine binges to record deals and Gone Baby Gone, the Boston hip-hop artist Slane is up next. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.